Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Is out. They're gonna talk about the VOD and the silver screen. Kevin and Tom and Joe know all there is to know, from masterpieces to deep fried tacos. And if the movie sucks, you might hear them say, there's no telling where the guys will take you. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, cause we already warned you.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 616, New Mutants.
A palindrome.
Yes.
I think New Mutants just works one way.
I think unless you're a comic book fan, it's more like, who mutants?
Yeah, no, it's like that if you're a comic book fan too.
Okay. I just thought I hadn't read, I was never much of a mutant guy, X-Men, and I didn't never really read them, so it's just like...
Your internet's being interesting, Tom.
What's it doing?
You look like a Wreck-It Ralph freezing in place.
I assume you meant to say you were never a New Mutants fan.
I was never an X-Men fan. Never read them, and so like, doesn't take much to stump me, so I never just assume if I've never heard of them that no one's ever heard of them or that they're not well known, but this one I'm just like, who?
Also, the X-Men is a really hard property to just jump in on.
Which is why I never did, right? Yeah, like, it was
right,
so...
Totally.
I mean, I know comic books are soap operas, but it was like, that was the soapiest of the soap operas.
Yes.
And it was so... And so it was just intimidating, and then back issues were a fortune, and so it was just like, nah, I'm
still
good.
Are.
You totally like I now I wish I'd have bought them because they what was a fortune then is like
it's a mint now,
the deal of the century now. But
yeah.
So I never really jumped on. And so like I would read other stuff like I have like, you know, a complete run of like Wolverine and that sort of stuff. But like when it was actually like X-Men issues, I was just like, nah, I'm good.
The problem with the X-Men books is not only would you have to read X-Men, you'd have to read Uncanny X-Men and Excalibur,
right,
and the New Mutants and Extreme. So that was always the issue with the X-Men comics.
You know what I miss, and which I liked a lot, and was when Superman had the S.H.I.E.L.D. number,
yes,
on it. So you
that
knew
made life
which
a lot easier.
Yeah, so you knew which order to read them in. So for people that don't know, like, Superman had like four comics. It was Action Comics, Superman, Man of Steel, and then like
Adventures of Superman.
There we go. And so they would put the S.H.I.E.L.D. on the cover, and then they would have another number on there. So it would be, you know, Action Comics 419, but then it would have an S.H.I.E.L.D. number of like 48, and then
yes,
the next Man of Steel that would come out after that would have a 49, and that way you could read them in the right order. Like, I thought that was great.
You were getting a Superman comic every week and different creative teams, mind
right,
you, but you were getting one. That's what they did. I mean, if you were reading The Death of Superman, Like, it was imperative that you read those in order.
Yeah.
Like, in order of how they came out.
Yeah, and so I wish that, one, they kept that, and I wish more books would do that, especially the books that had, you know, so many titles. Like, Batman has 4 titles, and, and you know, X-Men.
Really, the
that.
X-Men at this point, though, are still the only book that have more than 3. More than 3, like, titles based on these characters. It's really only the X-Men at this point.
God, and it's probably easier because it's a team.
Sure.
Not like one guy. Because that guy gets tired. Bruce Wayne gets tired.
He gets super tired.
Yeah, he's like, I just need a moment to catch my breath. So speaking of catching our breath, I guess we should probably go around the table and introduce ourselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Quick shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play. Or not Google Play. They don't call that. Google Podcasts. Whatever they're calling it this week. They can't
Zune.
Figure it out. Zune. Friendster, any of those places.
And MySpace / podcast.
Yeah.
it's only a matter of time before Tom the MySpace guy says, I'm still relevant.
Okay. I always say, you can't be talking about me. I was never relevant. So where was I in my shameless plugging? Oh, podcast. While you're there, be sure and subscribe so you never miss an episode. Of course, if you'd be so kind as to leave us a review, that's helpful as well. And you can also find us on the internet at Facebook.com/RealSpoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. And of course, don't forget our Patreon, patreon.com/RealSpoilers, where for $5 a month, you get all sorts of bonus content and you help us out. And we secretly like you a little extra, but not so secretly. And also, you can join the League of Show Shares if you don't got the $5 to throw at us. The easiest thing you can do that doesn't cost you a dime is just share an episode on your Facebook feed. People that were kind enough to share the show this week: Ralph Tribble, Tammy Sherman Powers, Librarian Cynthia, Gabriel Lugo, Joe Battisi joins the League of Show Shares.
Hey!
Because he was on the episode.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Brad Hyen rule.
The inverse of the Brad Hyen rule applies.
Right.
Because since he's on the show regularly. But yeah, yes. So there you go. Chris Williams, Chris Sanders, Heather Sachs, Julian Jordan, Chris Valls, Travis T. Witt, Chris Magic Man, Brad Hyen, and Ron Johnson. So thank you very much for doing that.
And when it comes to Patreon supporters, Joe offered something a little bit special. And so
I did.
If you
he took his pants off.
So, Joe, do you want to explain the Patreon bonus?
So if you, we all know that the Patreon is $5. $5, you get all of the episodes that come along with that. But I have decided that if we get people to jump to the a $7 tier, we don't have tiers, but if you want to up your donation from 5 to 7 or just go to 7, I will pull a random comic book out of my collection and I will send it to you. Now, I want you to be warned, you're not getting a New Mutants 98 that, or
what
Wolverine
about a
97? Absolutely not.
Oh.
So,
but there just, will be a Hulk 181.
Yeah, I will definitely give you a 181 or a 180, depending on what you decide is the real first appearance of Wolverine.
It's 181.
It's 180.
It's one panel in 180. Who cares?
Totally counts. It's a 180.
Who cares? I'm not paying that kind of money for one panel. Like
that's totally fair.
Yeah, like, no, it doesn't count. It's a cameo. The first real appearance. Yeah.
The first full appearance is 181.
Yeah,
the
F that first, 180 BS. No, no.
But I will definitely, you will get a comic book from my personal collection.
And so we even have an international donation. We got £7 donated.
So does that mean I have to give them like half a comic? Wait, is
no,
the
they're giving
more than
more,
a pound?
They're giving, don't
more,
tell them.
Seven
they're giving
pounds.
Oh, so I got to give them, I got a comic and a half.
Yeah, so thank you to Alex Carlo who donated £7. We appreciate that. I mean,
you got to send him an issue of Captain Britain.
I do, yeah, and I've got a lot of those.
Because they're worthless over here.
Absolutely. He's one of my favorite X-Men, actually. So the people that have upped their donation level, if you could send a message to the Facebook page or me personally with your address, I will ship that out hopefully next week.
And
now on
we
the
do
downside,
not...
it's the $7. Going from 5 to 7 isn't really that expensive. The really the expensive, cumbersome part is having to go get a P.O. box so Joe doesn't know where you live.
I like how we were just about to make the exact same joke.
They'll, yeah, That's probably a good idea.
Yeah.
So better to your mom and dad's house or something.
Yeah. Thanks for...
Then I'll know where your parents live.
Thank you for those who have upped your donations, though. And again, that greatly helps the show because that's what helps us if we have any equipment issues. Like, we just had to upgrade our new equipment earlier this year when everything crapped out. And so it helps us do things like promote the show and be able to do what we do and hopefully what you enjoy listening to. So we really do appreciate it.
Absolutely. We joke around.
We've also got a review.
Oh, well, let's hear the review.
Is it JP? Oh, no.
No, I don't think so.
Go on.
I'm not going to read the username because it's a ridiculous username.
No, go on.
I mean, it's WEFFJI. See, I'm not doing all that.
WEFG. Keep going. I want to try it.
II.
WEFG.
KFD.
WEFGK.
EW.
WEFGK.
DG1.
Okay, screw it. No, let's go
right,
on.
Thank you. This is what I was trying to avoid. Just stumbled upon this podcast today and can't stop listening. Got even more excited when I found out one of my old high school friends was on the show. Great to hear that he is still a huge comic book quote-unquote expert, which is fair. Love the chemistry and the superhero ones. You got me hooked. Hope the rest of them are as good. Definitely worth a try. You will not be sorry. Now, for the record, I'm the one in question. This person did not even know that I did this show. Like, we're not friends on Facebook. Like, there's no, like, you know, he wouldn't see any of my posts. So he legit actually stumbled on this podcast and he found out that I was on the podcast as well.
That's so random.
So he sent me a message on Facebook. He's like, "Hey, do you do a podcast?" And I was like, "I do." And we've gotten to just a little bit of a catch up, but I thought that was very fun that he found it without me helping him find it.
Yeah.
Look at that. You're famous.
Yeah, we'll go with that. He said he found the Kevin Smith video. That's what he found.
That's awesome.
How about that? Yeah. It works.
Well, thanks, Kevin Smith.
Yeah, indeed.
Thanks, Kevin Smith. So, so there's all that. I guess let's dig into New Mutants.
First of all, I can't believe this movie exists for the longest time.
Question. What was the original release date of this movie?
At least 2 years.
You think so?
I'm pretty sure it was like 2018 was the original release, and then they did reshoots, and then of course they just kept pushing it back, and then, you know, 2020, the whole year was the, you know, pushback because of the pandemic thing. So it was one thing after another for these new
such
mutants.
A weird. This is okay. So this is not the worst X-Men movie I've seen.
It's up there. I thought this was one of
the bar is real high with X-Men 3 and Apocalypse.
Well, true, but man, this movie was so boring.
It just nothing happened. So this movie,
that is the biggest problem.
This movie it's the Breakfast Club.
It is exactly the Breakfast.
It's just them sitting around talking, and every once in a while, the principal comes in and yells at them.
So, asterisk, it's the Breakfast Club, but with a terrible script.
Well, yeah.
It's totally uninteresting to listen to.
Totally,
that's the same premise of the Breakfast Club.
But that's the problem, is that nothing happens. It is very contained, which doesn't mean it's bad. I mean, there are a lot of chamber pieces and small contained films and plays that work really
well. Yeah, that could be a great idea and a way to keep your budget down. And because I saw that the budget on this is supposed to be around $80 million. Which I can only assume Maisie whatever got $70 million
because
to be in this movie.
Crazy.
And the rest went to that bear, I guess.
Yeah.
It's in one location, and they stray so little, and they do nothing but some of the big CG effects.
There's not much action in this compared to what you would expect. This plays more like a pilot for a TV show.
You're right. So what did Josh Boone do before this?
I don't know.
He did something. He did something that was kind of a thing.
I want to watch the commentary. Have you heard of the commentary for this movie?
No.
Apparently Josh Boone doesn't talk about the movie the entire time.
He did The Fault in Our Stars, which was really good.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
So I knew that there was a teen romance.
So they moneyballed it again.
They did.
Yeah.
Except they
apparently didn't allow him to actually do anything because that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really good idea.
This team was. So just to give a comic book background, Uncanny X-Men in the 70s and 80s was a juggernaut, pun intended. You couldn't beat it. And then all of a sudden, DC came out with the Teen Titans, which was the first book to kind of knock Uncanny X-Men off of the pedestal. They were both kind of going back and forth. Both are, at that era, were fantastic books. So Marvel kind of tried to regroup, and in 1982, they had like a line of graphic novels, and that's where you get the death of Captain Marvel. You get the God Loves, Man Kills storyline, which was the basis for X-Men 2, and then you got the New Mutants, which was pretty much this team. They added magic for the movie, but for the most part, this team is the right team.
Has there been a more boring, lazy superhero name than Magic?
It's spelt different.
I mean, it's
so... Does that count?
They might as well just called her Superhero.
Like, it's insane to me. I mean, you know who she is, right? You know who her brother is, right?
No.
It's Colossus.
Okay.
She's Colossus' sister. And they never mention her brother. Like, they talk about the X-Men, and, like, her brother is an X-Man.
Probably when Disney bought them, they probably edited out any connection that would go to the MCU, because they're like, we don't want to be referencing stuff this late in the game when we're about to just do whatever with, you know,
yeah.
Mutants are going to be, what, at the end of this phase or the next one they think can introduce them?
I mean, if they're doing a Captain Marvel 2, I mean, that's a perfect way to bring in a certain mutant and take Brie Larson off the table if she doesn't want to do anymore.
But she loves doing it, doesn't she? She's not.
I don't remember.
I thought she did. I thought she was super excited to, like, she seemed it.
Okay, then maybe it was just the stupid internet backlash that didn't like her.
Yeah, hopefully
because
she doesn't
she
get
wasn't
ran
confident.
Off.
No, well, so in the comics she does.
Oh, and I think the movie's terrible, but I don't think people should. Yeah,
I don't think Captain Marvel was terrible.
The movie?
Yeah, I thought it was fine.
Oh, I didn't like that movie at all, but it had nothing to do with it. I mean,
with her.
Brie Larson's a good actor. Like, Short Term 12 was the first thing I saw her in, and Room, she was really, I mean, she's a good
actor.
Scott
Pilgrim.
I think the script was terrible in Captain Marvel, but that's not the issue. And certainly they shouldn't, the comic book nerd boys online should not be running people out of, you know, as soon as they start controlling stuff, we're going to get, it's just a mess. So,
right.
But they
could introduce Rogue in the comics. Takes Carol Danvers off the board for a very long time. And then the rumor forever was that Submariner was going to be, or Namor was going to be in Black Panther 2, and he's a mutant. So,
yeah.
I mean, he's the first mutant, correct. There's all kinds of options to bring them in. And the other rumor is that WandaVision is going to somehow bring them in. Like, Wanda's going to do something in that show.
Excited for that.
Yeah, it looks great. It looks insanely great. So I could actually see this movie being really important for kids that are struggling with their sexuality. This reminded me a lot of... There was some flick that I remember. It was like an independent movie that... every girl that didn't know if she was a lesbian or not in high school was like raving about a certain movie. And with this one, rather than kind of tiptoeing around maybe they are, maybe they aren't, I'm like, well, at least they went for it.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
They changed the characters. Those characters are not a couple. Neither one of them are gay in the comics.
And they never even... address really struggling. It's just
it's just we're doing it.
Yeah,
which I appreciate, and I
totally
think that...
like, especially because it's like at this point, like, I mean, first off, the movie's only like an hour and a half long, so
which I appreciate.
You know, yeah, touche. But also, I'm like, do we need this story again? Like, and I mean, it's an important story. I don't mean to diminish it for people who have struggled, but I'm like, I just feel like I don't know that every story about, you know, LGBTQ people need to revolve around the struggle. Like, that's not what everyone contends with anymore. Like, let's start seeing different stories, you know?
Yeah, and some modern, as time goes on and things become more progressive with, you know, civil rights and liberties and all that, it's, it's going to be just a thing. It's going to, like, you're just going to see characters that are gay. I mean, right. just like there are characters that aren't gay and trans right. characters. I mean, if you look at film and television and you see, what is the Assassination Nation? There's a trans woman in that and they never address it though. Like, the character isn't trans. She's a woman and it's a trans actor. And so you're going to just start seeing these things pop up because these, you know, people are a part of society and, you're right. The story doesn't necessarily have to surround, you don't have to take time out of the story to be like, here is a clear point. It's like, no, they're another, just like for,
they played it no differently than you would play
a regular
romance.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
I don't mean like it's an irregular couple.
But
a heterosexual romance.
Yes, thank you. Or heterosexual.
You don't highlight. You don't go, we're a couple and we're straight. Like, it's just a thing, right? And so they play it the same way here, and that's how I think you're going to start getting it. And I agree with Tom, though. It's like, you know, there's no reason to even take any more time to focus on it because right. you can just tell the actual story and have that be a part of it without, you know, diverting into some other, you know, tangent.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just like, as I was watching it, I was just trying to find something to, you know, enjoy. And it's like, okay,
so you went straight for the girl on girl action.
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah. I realized after I had said what I had said, how it sounded.
And
I was looking for something to enjoy, so I thought I'd start with the underage lesbian sex.
Yeah, and Macy Williams looks about 13.
Yeah, right. And like I said, this is definitely not.
It's
the
okay,
worst.
Though. This movie's been on the shelf so long. She's 35 now.
Right.
She was born,
she did three more seasons of Game of Thrones after this.
Right.
Yeah,
she's this movie, she hadn't gotten her first period. Now she's gone through menopause. That's how long the movie was on the shelf.
But she's so she would have been probably around 20 when this is filmed.
Yeah.
She's 23. But if you want to feel old, she was born in 1997.
I had a student had an incident, had to get the information, and I was like, you know, getting the girl's birthday. And she was like, oh, 9/11, 2001. And I stopped and I was like, what? And she was like, what? I go, say your birthday again. And she was like, 9/11, 2001. I go, you were born on 9/11, 2001. She was like, yeah, why?
She didn't know.
And she goes, yeah, why? And I was like, what do you mean, why?
It can't be the first time it's come up.
That's what I'm saying. And I was like, that's like being born on D-Day.
Right.
Like, yeah. She's like, oh, well, I guess. I was like, oh, God, 2001.
Wow.
Good Lord.
And are we that far removed that it's like,
yeah, we are, because that those kids that were born in 2001 are freshmen in college.
Yeah,
now.
Geez, 19 years. Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah.
So this is it's not a good movie.
This is a terribly slow movie.
Yeah.
And the dialogue is atrocious.
Yeah, it's
oh
bad.
My gosh, it's so
this
bad.
Whole and, this whole bear thing. Oh my God!
Okay, so I will say
that's a storyline in the comics.
That's awful.
That's a Bill Sienkiewicz, I think, and Chris Claremont.
Well, maybe it was cooler 40 years ago.
I mean, it looked cooler when Bill Sienkiewicz drew it.
Because now it's just like, Jesus Christ, my spinster aunt shares this meme on Facebook, and like your book ending your movie, like it's gonna blow my mind, and I'm just. Ugh. They might as well had one of the minions come out and say it. Like, that's how often it pops up in my Facebook feed.
What is it exactly? What do you mean?
So that her demon, like the demon, she brought that thing to her village because her powers were out of control. So she apparently, I mean, the way I interpreted the movie is that she always struggled with fear. So that's the one that she fed the most. So when she was no longer in control of her powers, like, she brought that into the real world, and that was the problem. But the entire time, so one of the things that this movie, it drove me insane is like, so we have this compound that is harvesting. That's the right word. Mutants. Like, the Essex Corporation is Mr. Sinister. Like, that's a big X-Men villain. So you've got this whole, like, and they hinted at it in.
Oh, yeah.
One of the, like, maybe the Wolverine.
Yeah, they were in one of them. I can't.
And then they hinted at it again in, like, not First Class, and
no,
not
was
Day-
it? It was a day. Was it Days of Future Past, or was that
maybe?
Different?
But like that.
Which
character
one was
has come
the one
before.
Creating? Which one was Peter Dinklage working for? What company?
That was Days of Future Past.
What was the company?
The Essex Corporation.
Oh, it
oh
was.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah,
yeah. So that's why. Yeah, okay.
So they like. I have to believe that this was going to be their Thanos. It's like they're just going to keep hinting around it since they've had him in these movies before.
So and what's the plot line? So this girl, is it Danny Moonstar?
Danny Moonstar.
That's a good question.
Yeah. Yeah. Danny Moonstar is a new mutant. See? See? That's what they did.
But she's Native American?
She is. Yes.
And so this
yes.
bear, wasn't the bear like a legend? Like her dad told her about this bear that she
yeah,
manifests?
Yeah, there's two bears inside of us. And one is the good bear, one is the bad bear. And whichever one you feed more is the one that grows
one,
the most.
One is in a little white outfit with a little halo above its yeah, head, and right. the other has horns and a pointy tail and a pitchfork.
Yes, that is absolutely correct. That's the way, like in a Looney Tune.
Yeah.
So,
same thing,
yeah, so
same tail.
Same. So because Danny does not have control of her powers, like the bad bear... destroys her villages and kills everybody.
And this is the spoiler, just so you know, and do not feel free to watch this movie because it doesn't matter. But the whole time there's crap going down at this one location facility they are the entire movie, and
right.
they don't know why it is, and no one knows what Danny's powers are. Like Essex doesn't know, she doesn't know, none of them know, but she manifests your greatest fears and they
She's
attack
Scarecrow.
You. And yeah, until they kill
without,
you.
Without the toxin.
Right. So yeah. She just finds your fear and it will haunt you until it literally kills you. And so
yes.
the opening scene.
And it
is...
works because my fear was New Mutants 2.
And now you're
Don't
dead.
Worry.
Yeah.
Not going to be a problem.
Phew. I stopped feeding it because luckily based on the box office, nobody fed that bear.
No, see, well. Fox's fear was New Mutants 2, and they're
yeah,
dead
they're
now.
Like, oh god,
so
please don't go see it. Please, no, we'll just hold it.
They're
please
done.
Don't go see it.
Yeah,
this movie made them sell Fox.
Yeah,
like this is the reason. Yeah, that's her power. So she ends up She wakes up inside this facility with Dr. Reyes, who is another X-Men character, but I don't think she's a bad guy, and I don't really remember she. She's in like that fallow period of the X-Men where the art was really good, but the stories were crap.
Well,
oh, the 90s?
Yes, the 90s.
Her Wikipedia entry has her in a blue and yellow X-Men suit, so I'm guessing she was a good guy.
They brought those suits back. But yes, she was a part of the team.
But I mean, she's on.
Yes.
Well, she was clearly conflicted.
But not enough to not like kill children.
Yeah.
She was ready to kill Danny.
Well,
and she
anyone who's
killed
had
more
children...
of them.
That's We've
true.
All been there.
There's always a moment.
Yeah. Like, if you want a good version of this story, Stephen King wrote a book two years ago, called The Institute. And it's pretty good.
Okay. Is it the same premise? Obviously not mutants.
They're not mutants, but it's similar that it's like this organization that's kind of like collecting children for certain powers. And
do they all have The Shining?
The Shining. Remember. We're going to get sued.
I don't want to get sued.
Yeah. But I do think it crosses over. You know how he has his shared world.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was good. It was a good book.
Well, you know what? So this movie was probably... Josh Boone didn't even care because this was just a test because he is the one that's directing and adapting The Stand for television.
No, he's not.
Yeah.
Oh, how about
is
that?
Is he really?
So 2 years ago, 3 years ago... He was developing this movie, which is like a crappy version of that new Stephen King book. And so he's
That's
like,
so
hey,
weird.
I can do some Stephen King stuff. That's all this was. But I don't know how
they didn't get Flanagan.
Yeah, well.
Honestly, like, that's, all right.
But anyway, so yeah, I just, because I looked it up and it said then 2021, The Stand, and it's like him directing, producing, he's got, he must be the showrunner on it, but.
Interesting.
So
we're back in this facility, we're introduced to, I mean, like I said, with the exception of Ileana, it's the same team. So you've got Will's older brother from
Stranger Things.
Stranger Things.
Does he really have that accent?
No. No. It's ADR'd all the time.
These accents are so bad.
All of them. I like Anya Taylor-Joy, but her Russian accent. We'll just say Will's brother from Stranger Things is like hillbilly accent, southern accent.
And then you've got Roberto, who is Sunspot, and then Danny Moonstar, who is, I think her name was Psyche, I think was her name. Again. Super creative name for these mutant kids.
Oh, yeah, Psyche, yeah.
Yeah.
Psyche and later Mirage, it says.
Okay. So now, you know, it's like Tom said, it's basically the outcast, the jock, the new kid, and the cool girl. And that's kind of what this movie is. You get to see, like, because of Danny's power, she gets flashes of everybody's past. So like Sunspot burned his girlfriend alive.
But didn't we already do the Breakfast Club? Wasn't it Homecoming that we said was like the Breakfast Club for superhero movies?
We said it was like a John Hughes movie.
John Hughes movie.
But okay. Not necessarily the Breakfast
Club. I mean, you're
Club.
Not wrong.
Okay. But okay. So I'm just saying, like, they've Marvel, and this is Marvel Fox. This isn't MCU.
Right.
Don't play that thing in the beginning of your movie.
Yeah, anymore. Right. Yeah. That we own that. But MCU has done really well with the moneyballing and the different genres and adapting things that they have their own look and feel that still fits within the MCU, but they feel like they're different genres and properties that those directors are, you know, that suit those directors. And Fox hasn't quite been able to do that, and so this was their final attempt, obviously, and now we're going to roll everything into MCU, but
I will say Fox did it once with Logan.
The Western,
like a prestige superhero flick for sure.
But that's James Mangold, you know, James Mangold is a great director, and, you know, they obviously cast the right guy and let him do his vision I think because he isn't Josh Boone, and you know what I mean, he's got, like, James Mangold has enough street cred where I think they're like, okay, we're gonna let this guy be an auteur and make his Western and everything, and Logan was freaking awesome. But I feel like when you get these Moneyball directors, you know they're good, but the studio also gets to pull all the strings, and this movie is a complete mess.
Especially with this one.
As Tom said, because he didn't get to make his movie, so even though Josh Boone is competent, he isn't James Mangold. He can't say, no, this is what I'm going to do. And so you ended up having this mess of a movie that wasn't scary enough or wasn't action-packed enough, and they had to go and do all these reshoots and all the delays that came even way before the pandemic, and so you end up getting this muddled mess of a movie that feels like two different movies, and one of them is kind of a Breakfast Club coming-of-age type thing, and the other's a horror movie. And I will say, when it got to like the last 15 minutes and it was a horror movie, I'm like, yeah, this is what I wanted to see, because everyone, when this movie was showing stills and I guess the first trailers and the buzz around
first trailer was definitely like horror inspired.
Yeah, people were like, oh, it's a Marvel horror movie. That sounds cool, right? But you don't really even get the horror. You get little flashes, tiny ones in between the boring stuff, but the horror main part is all the climax of the movie. And so once that happened, I was hooked, but it was too late. I'm like, I'm checked out. This movie was terrible. And okay, why weren't we doing more of this earlier? The action stuff, you know, the exciting, you know, monsters and running away from things, like, that was all really cool.
So the thing that I felt like he was trying to do is trying to do the Stephen King thing, which is just funny given the fact that there's a Stephen King book that is very similar to this, where he was trying to make you feel for all of these characters, right?
Yeah, like that's the thing people always miss when they're adapting Stephen King books, is that he spends so much time in character development that, like, by the time it gets to the supernatural stuff, you care about what's going to happen, where so many of those films that they've made, like, they skip that part and they just go straight for the horror stuff, and they forget about what a great story he was telling. They just don't want to take the time, and it's frustrating.
Right, like The Shining. Think about how long it builds up before the stuff starts going down. And Mike Flanagan captures that with Dr. Sleep. When you see
It was a Danny again.
Danny,
You know, you care about him. You want to know, of course, because he's a famous character, but you get to learn about him and see what he's doing now and what he's struggling with, and you're connecting with him again. And this movie, I get how they were doing that, but I think maybe it was just because the script was so bad. Every piece of dialogue that would come out of their mouth, it's hard to care for the characters when they feel so wooden and the dialogue is so bad. And, you know, the performances, when we talk about these accents, and it wasn't working. Like the magic stuff. And again, I like Anya Taylor-Joy, but
I think she was a good choice for that character. But they should have never let her do the accent.
No, I suppose not. And I wasn't buying the beef between her and Danny.
It felt very just like, we have to have.
Oh my God, that conflict was so
for no reason
terrible and forced and did not feel authentic at all. I will say, once Magic got her sword and was kicking ass, I'm like, that's a cool character.
That's her power. Her power. She's on the level of Doctor Strange. As far as like magic,
that was badass.
Legit magic, she can access limbo and all that stuff.
So here's the deal:
the Lockheed thing is not like that. That's Kitty Pryde.
Oh, okay.
Like the Shadow, the Ellen Page character from the X-Men movies. Like Lockheed was her pet.
Oh, so they gave.
So I don't. They gave it to they gave it to her to Magic in this one.
So
I
think the main problem
because they thought they were going to sell toys.
That's true.
So I think the one of the main problems here, aside from the bad script, is that now we're this late in the game. We have all these other Marvel properties and characters we know. Okay, you're going to introduce these new characters. This entire movie is an origin story for all these characters that no one knows. And so you spend the whole movie doing an origin story, and you're just like, I don't care
that we're never going to see again.
I mean that doesn't help, certainly, that you know that this is the end of it. And now, I mean, Apocalypse was not
Apocalypse.
Dark Phoenix was the last
I always forget that.
So you're kind of like, we knew that really didn't matter, so that was bad too, but not as bad as this, but that was bad too. And you're kind of like, oh, you're checked out. But this one, you're getting all these new characters. At least in Dark Phoenix, we knew these characters, so we're like, okay. Mm-hmm. And they get into the action for, you know, whatever it's worth sooner and all that. This one, okay, who is this? Okay, what's their power? Okay, who, you know, you're going down the list.
What's their bad memory?
Yeah, we got to learn all these things about these characters. We know we're never going to see them again in this iteration. So the whole thing just...
You know what I find fascinating? How you know you're never going to see them again? Is this the first superhero movie in 15 years that doesn't have a post or mid credit sequence?
I was waiting. Like, can we at least get Mr. Sinister?
I turned this off at the credits. I didn't even wait for one.
I was scrolling through. I was just like, is there anything?
I fast forwarded as well. I was like,
that's funny though. That shows where my mindset was when the credits rolled on this. I was out. Yeah. I could, like, I know Tom's done that before where he's like, I'm not sticking around for these credits. Like when he's at the movies, he's like, I didn't care. I was so checked out of this thing when it was off. I'm like, thank God I'm done watching this movie. Man, I was,
It's a struggle because I was a big fan of the original New Mutants run. Like that initial graphic novel is really good. The first, I mean, I'm hesitant to say 100, but I mean, Rob Liefeld debuted Cable and Deadpool like that in New Mutants. Mm-hmm. So like there's some history there. Like there's a lot of like, you know, massive comic book characters that debuted in that book. And for the most part, they get the characters right. Like, Ileana is kind of abrasive and cold. Roberto Sunspot is a rich jerk, but he is also, like, Cannonball's his best friend. Like, they've always been friends. So, like, the characterization of these characters is spot on. Mm-hmm. But, like, having them in this garbage story... makes it even more frustrating.
So
because the source material is right.
So the concept, the way that they did this thing is that the doctor tells the story about how baby rattlesnakes are the most dangerous compared to the adults because they can't control their venom. And so that's the metaphor for what this facility is doing. They're gathering all the new mutants that don't know what or how to use their powers, and they're teaching them to control. I mean, under their guise. This,
like the Xavier Institute for Gifted Children?
Yeah, yeah. So, but they're, you know, supposedly they're helping them control it, not weaponizing them or trying to take advantage of them. But they're, you know, they're gathering all these new mutants, helping them control their abilities, and then they'll send them off into the world. And so that's why we get all these characters are stuck at this. Basically, it's like a mental facility. They're jailed there. They can't go outside the premises. That this doctor has a force field around it and is able to lock the doors and do all this stuff with these force fields that they can't escape from. And so the movie is all of them trying to do their, you know, manage their teenage angstiness with their superhero abilities. And there's really not a whole lot of plot to talk about because a lot of it is just them, you know, talky.
It's just them
I don't want to be here. They all are just like, let me go. I don't want to be here. And they run into their own little issues. But the main thing is that each one of them starts to see their greatest fears. And again, right. This is while Danny doesn't know and nobody knows what her power is. And so we eventually find out that Danny's the one causing them all to do this. But what are they? We could run through them. So
Sam Guntree, who is Cannonball, who is Will's brother, mm-hmm. His power is, I mean, he can generate a kinetic force, like he's basically a human rocket.
They say he can blast off.
That's Nova, but yes, but he also, so when he uses his power, he's invincible.
I was wondering.
So, like, he can crash into things and he'll be okay.
Because he has like a black eye and stuff, and he's taking off like a rocket and bouncing off the ground like he's a, you know, ping pong ball.
Right.
And I was wondering, okay, I get he can blast off, but is he indestructible?
Yes. When he's using his power, he is. But otherwise,
he's
not.
Like punching himself in the face, too. He's like so upset that he's like.
Oh, yeah. I forgot all about that.
He's like, yeah. In order to feel, I've got to
feel something. Yeah. It's like, well, you would feel everything normal. Just don't blast off. His sister is also a mutant. Her name is Husk.
Okay.
Her name is Paige, but we don't see her at all. So he caused a mine collapse, which killed an entire company of mine workers plus his father.
So did he take off in the mine and it collapsed?
He didn't have control and it went off.
Okay.
Which is possible. Like, I mean, you know, we've seen plenty of mutant stories mm-hmm. where that happens. Sure. Roberto, who is Sunspot. Who I will say again, like when he goes full mutant power, he looks just like he did in the comics. Like his skin is black and his eyes are like molten lava.
The end of the movie,
cool. It's a very cool looking power. I can only assume is he set his girlfriend on fire.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely. That's why she comes back to haunt him as a burning corpse. Yeah.
Right, which I thought was cool. Again, that's a cool visual to see her come back.
That's the horror element. Like, mm-hmm. all the horror stuff that is few and far between, and it all really amounts at the end of the movie, pretty much. Like, that stuff's cool. If they would have made this a more scary movie, because the stuff they sprinkled in before the end really wasn't all that scary, and then at the end, it's all the big horror stuff. But I agree, that's what I was here for, and I think that's where Fox had this polar idea of what the movie was going to be, because the first 3/4 of it is really not that horror.
No.
And I'm wondering, I'm guessing Josh Boone wanted the whole thing to be horror and they went back and made it less horror, or I mean,
I guess
I remember maybe. The rumor was they were making it more scary, but I don't know. It just feels so uneven that I feel like if they were going to do the reshoots and make and do something with it, they would have evened out the
lean
the first
the
half. Yeah. The first 3/4. Yeah. But anyway,
So then you've got, Rain, who is Maisie Williams. She's Wolfsbane, which I never remember her going full wolf. Like, she definitely, like, when the scenes when she attacks Dr. Reyes and she's got, like, she's like a half wolf.
Yeah.
That's the character design that I remember the most.
I see a picture online of like a werewolf looking full.
Yes. Yeah. So there's two, right? So if you're looking at Wolfsbane, mm-hmm. that's the one you're looking at. Don't look at Feral, which is an exact same character, just different.
Okay.
So she was, I was, her accent was pretty good.
Is she Scottish?
I think that
she's
is her
Scottish.
Accent.
Because I was going to say,
Oh, I thought she was British.
No, I think she's Scottish.
Oh, then never mind.
says she's English, so I don't
know. I
thought
she was.
It does say that, so, but maybe she's in like the UK area where she
accents like that.
Right.
So her she was deemed a witch by her parents, and she's scarred. She's got like the Scarlet W that's been branded on her.
Is that priest? Was that her parents or like just a random?
I think it must have just. I thought it was just a random.
Okay.
And then Magic, or Ilyana Rasputin, was, I can only assume, in child sex trade, is what my assumption was.
So what were the deal with the smiley face guys?
Those were the masks that the people wore when they attacked her, and then they kind of went they ramped it up at the end.
That was Marilyn Manson.
Like demons.
It was. I'm not joking. That was Marilyn Manson.
What?
What are you talking about?
The smiley guy. That's Marilyn Manson.
Was it really?
No, it's not. In this movie?
Thought so.
That would be crazy pants. He's in some trouble.
He is?
Yeah.
Why?
Who's the girl from Westworld?
Oh, Evan Rachel Wood?
Has said some stuff.
Well, yeah, they were.
He is not a nice dude.
Yeah, they were together for.
Yeah. I think she was after. I think the story was is that he made her look like Dita Von Teese, who was who we dated before her.
Gotcha.
And it was not a good thing.
Wasn't Rose McGowan the one that was?
There's three of them.
Okay, because she was
like in a row.
Okay, gotcha.
But yes, Rose McGowan we've seen.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's and then Dr. Reyes, I guess her nightmare is that she murdered all of these children.
I mean,
like they're in that facility and they're just like leading the kids to die.
That's a believable nightmare.
So Manson's the voice of the smiley men.
Ah, yeah. But still, that good. How did you see that? Did you hear him talk and we're like, oh, that's Marilyn Manson?
No, I when I was Googling the movie, he was listed in the cast.
And I remember years ago Marilyn Manson like popping up. Like they said, oh, he was cast in something. That sounds familiar now that you said it, but I didn't remember.
Yeah, he was the kid from the Wonder Years. He was the best friend in the Wonder Years.
Yes, I remember hearing on all the entertainment websites, I believe it was Cosmic Book News, reported that he was cast as the friend on the Wonder Years. I remember that. They delivered it by telegram. They singing telegrammed it to me.
He had his lower ribs taken out. He had his eyes colored taken. Yeah, it was all kinds of weird stuff. So that's basically what they tell you throughout the entire movie. I mean, they do. There is the scene where Maisie Williams is watching the episode of Buffy where Willow realizes that she's gay. And I was like, well, that's a little on the nose, but all right.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a random. I mean, of all the episodes of Buffy the Vampire Slayer you're going to be watching, it's that one episode. But that is the entire movie.
Yeah.
Like Kevin said, the whole movie is like seeing all of these heroes. They do reference the other X-Men. Like they assume that the boss that Dr. Reyes is talking about is Charles Xavier. So like they make reference to Xavier and the X-Men and that there are other mutants out there. Which again, it's like if they know that he's out there and Ileana can leave, why wouldn't she just go get her giant hulking metal brother to break them out?
Yeah, that's weird.
You know?
Well, I guess, do we know when this takes place?
I didn't
know.
I couldn't tell.
So, you know, like, maybe.
I mean, I guess that's a good point. But at least in the history of the Rasputin family, like, Colossus has been very protective of his sister.
This movie was filmed 3 years ago. In 2017.
Well,
it was going to release in 18, though. That's the 2-year delay. But it was filmed 3 years ago, just for point of reference and like the actors' careers and everything. Because, Maisie Williams.
Well, even the X-Men movies gave up on a timeline.
Yeah.
Like some, you know, like Days of Future Past happened in the past and the future and then rewrote everything.
Well, even the title gives up on a timeline, right?
That's true.
Days of Future Past. I like that one.
Days of Future Past.
That's the best one they've done.
First Class, I think, was the best besides Logan.
X2, First Class, and
I like Days of Future Past. I love that storyline. I like that book, the two issues or whatever that I like.
That's it.
It's simple, but I like the storyline. I like the characters. I think it's a cool thing, and I think they adapted it pretty well.
This franchise is probably the most hit or miss. Like, sometimes you'll get a really good one. It's almost like a James Bond franchise
But it's the only one they're doing this many of, though. I mean,
that
you
is gotta
think about it. The most hit or miss, it's like, well, but no other Fox Marvel movies have 13
movies. So wait, how
many
have we got?
So
we had X-Men, X-Men 2, X-Men 3, X-Men First Class, Days of Future Past, Apocalypse, Dark Phoenix. Right, so that's 7.
It's the 13th, they say, in the X-Men
and then
film.
Wolverine Origins, yeah. Logan, the Wolverine.
Right. Yep.
and then two Deadpools.
So this is number 13, whereas what other Fantastic Four? There's three, including the reboot. Spider-Man, they've rebooted it in series of threes, you know?
Two. So you got you got three Spider-Man. Tobey Maguire, we did three. Andrew Garfield did two.
Okay, three and two, but then, three with the
And now we're
the new
three
one.
With
so,
Tom Holland.
You know,
well,
so
just say they reboot them in series of prime numbers.
Yeah, exactly. That's fair. Yeah. So this is, when you make 13 of something, it's less hit or miss, but it's like, there's 13 of them.
It actually, it has surpassed the horror franchises. Nightmare on Elm Street didn't get to 13.
Yet.
Halloween didn't get to, Halloween didn't get to 13, but it will. And Friday the 13th will not get to 13 because the rights are such a mess. The next one would be 13. But they can't get there because of the
rights. They'll figure it out.
Do you only count them in, without reboots, though? You only count them in succession?
Because
this isn't rebooted. This is the 13th in the same series.
No, it is rebooted, though.
Is it?
Like, they rebooted their own timeline.
But that's a soft reboot. They didn't just start over. They didn't wipe the slate clean, and start, when they brought in Jackie Earle Haley to play Freddy Krueger.
Yeah,
that's a reboot.
Spider-Man movie. It's the third. It's the second and third in the new Spider-Man series. You wouldn't call it the eighth in the series. It's been rebooted twice.
So, do you consider Casino Royale a reboot?
Bond is weird
because it predates the idea of any of this. You know what I mean? And so, it's always kind of not had a cohesive storyline. Yeah. So
I think they've done it twice.
Yeah.
This does seem like a reboot though, because Daniel Craig seemed to reintroduce all the main characters seemingly for the first time.
And there was a definitely a tonal shift.
Sure, absolutely.
I mean, you'd seen tonal shifts before. Obviously Roger Moore is different than Sean Connery, but it just everything about the movie even kind of just had a different look to it too,
Yeah,
it was definitely a more modern Bond.
Then I cannot think of another franchise that has told pretty much the same story for 13 consecutive films.
Well, I guess Harry Potter's probably the closest.
Yeah, that's true.
Those cheaters their split up
part ones, part twos, plus the. I guess you can't really count the Lemony Snicket.
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. You really can't count as part of that whole Harry Potter.
No, the stupid Eddie Redmayne movies.
Oh, Fantastic Beasts.
There we go.
We haven't even talked about that news on the show.
And they're saying Amber Heard is going to be okay.
So the thing, I get finally the Warner Brothers has come around and been like, yeah, maybe we need to distance ourselves from this Johnny Depp madness, even though, the court is not out yet. But that libel suit is, but the whole thing between them isn't finished yet. But still, I think it's only was a matter of time before they distance themselves. But here you have Colin Farrell, who's a great actor.
Yep.
And then they
who played the character already.
And then they just tried to turned it into, oh, he's Johnny Depp. But it's like, okay, right. So now it's not Johnny Depp. It's like, go back to Colin Farrell. You have him. Why?
They're like, no, we're going to get somebody else. Different. Yeah, we're going to go get Mads Mikkelsen.
Mads Mikkelsen? That's awesome.
Oh, yeah, come on. He's great.
That's the only exception.
Just real quick, backing up to movies that have told a story for...
Yeah.
So I'm going to get really old school on you.
Okay.
Oh.
But Mickey Rooney had a film series that was... extraordinarily popular.
Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Yeah. And they made 16 of them. They made 16.
And were they full features?
They were full features. I mean,
frontal?
You cannot overestimate the box office appeal of Mickey Rooney back in the day. He was a beast. And he made 16 Andy Hardy films between 1937 and 1958. They made 16 of them.
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, what is that?
Andy Hardy was. Hang on, let me go. I've never actually seen.
Is it Uncle of the Hardy Boys?
Yeah, I was like, is it a detective?
So it's a fictional character best known for the MGM series of 16 films where he was played by Mickey Rooney, released between 37 and 46, and then a final film in 58 as an unsuccessful attempt to continue the series. Hardy and others initially appeared in the 1928 play Skidding. Early films in the series were about the Hardy family as a whole, but later entries focused on the character of Andy Hardy. Rooney was the only member of the ensemble to appear in all 16 films. The Hardy films were enormously popular in their heyday, were sentimental comedies celebrating ordinary American life. And his, I believe his father was a judge, and then he would get into all sorts of antics. And this is, I think, where he... I think this might have been where he was first paired up with Judy Garland. But
okay.
But yeah, so it's like, it's interesting. You can see in the film titles the way it kind of shifts. It starts off, the first one's called A Family Affair, and then You're Only Young Once, and then Judge Hardy's Children, and then Love Finds Andy Hardy. That's the Judy Garland one. And then Out West with the Hardys Ride High, and then they really start just pounding Andy Hardy. Andy Hardy gets Spring Fever, Andy Hardy meets the debutante, Andy Hardy's private secretary, life begins for Andy Hardy.
Andy Hardy meets the Globetrotters.
Yeah, the courtship
Andy Hardy meets Abbott and Costello.
Courtship of Andy Hardy, Andy Hardy's Double Life. But yeah, like, but these movies, like 37, 38, they made three of them they made two of them in 37, three of them in 38, three of them in 39, and then 40, 41, 2 and 41,
Jeepers, creepers.
2 and 42, 44, 46, and then 58.
That's a lot of movies.
Yeah. Movies back then were, you know, you got to remember TV didn't exist. So, like,
I guess that's true.
You know, so, like, they would really churn them out, you know.
Trying to crank them out.
I was a fan of Andy Hardy hardly meets Laurel and Hardy. That was a good crossover.
And then they
also Andy Hardy versus the Hardy Boys.
There was a film,
versus.
There was a film series based on Blondie, the comic strip.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they made 28 of those.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Whoa! Huh.
But they. But I will also say that they did a lot of recasting in those.
Oh well, I mean, when you make 20 of them, that makes sense.
But
this tangent tells you everything you need to know about
the
New Mutants.
Thinking the same thing.
I'm just telling you that Tom is talking about 1930s to 1950s film series we've never heard of, and we're making up movie titles. That is how slow and boring this movie is, and it is a complete waste of time.
It is such a shame, because I do think they could have done the Moneyball method with this, and it could have really worked.
They should have let him just. I mean.
Let him do like a slasher movie or like a Conjuring movie based like with these characters in this hospital. Like, because Danny's power like lends to doing a horror movie.
Yeah, I mean that creepy dude is like the Slender Man or something.
Absolutely,
like that character is a good creepy character. It's really that I'm telling you that last 15 minutes or whatever. Once I got into the chase when they're running around the facility and everyone doesn't know what's going on.
I love when you're like, oh, there needed to be more of the Smiley Man. You know, a movie's bad when you're like, you know what this movie needs? More child rape.
I was thinking more of the killer aspect of the creepy Smiley Man, not the original intent, but yes, I can see.
Okay, so I was right. This New Mutants issues 18 to 20, and then earlier in issue 3, Danny had a dream that made her face her greatest fear, the demon bear that killed her parents. So that I knew that was coming from the book. I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't speaking out of turn, which I'm known to do.
Well, thank you for clarifying.
You're welcome. Yeah.
Fans of this franchise.
But I think it was a Bill Sienkiewicz thing. So of course it looks phenomenal, and it was a phenomenal story. Did not transfer well. Should have transferred.
So that's what it comes down to, is that everyone starts going crazy. All their fears are coming out. They figure out that it's Danny, and the Essex Corporation sends a message to the doctor, Dr. Reyes, and says, you need to terminate her. Like, she's too dangerous to be controlled and needs to be eliminated.
Which is also like, you know, you've got Jean Grey and Professor X. Like,
yeah, I
they're
guess they don't.
Alpha, they're omega level mutants. They're like, but no, kill the kid that can make the dreams real.
They're unobtainable. They're gone.
That's true.
Like,
that's fair.
You've got these new mutants at their facility where they can actually do that. With them, you know, yeah, try to get close to them, see what happens. But that's what it all comes down to, is that so they figure it out, and then Wolfsbane saves her. She starts scratching up Dr. Reyes.
Which was a cool scene, again, like when she goes werewolf, and I was like, yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we're done with that.
And then, Dr. Reyes is all bloody and scratched up and stuff, and so she escapes. What does she do? She leaves them? I can't even remember what
happens. Basically, what happens is that Sunspot blows up the building.
Yeah.
The demon bear shows up. Sunspot, they all attack it, and Danny conquers her fear and takes out the bear.
I like it when Magic finally like faces their fear. So she is so traumatized, understandably, from those events that when the smiley face killers start showing up, she just freezes. But she eventually, it looks like she's just going to disappear and leave them high and dry. But then they're escaping down the stairwell, and all of a sudden Magic comes with her huge sword and is just like slicing them up. Like, that's a cool moment.
Yeah.
More of
those.
She's
a cool character. But like, it happened from nothing. It was just like, I'm really scared. No, I'm not.
Well, it probably a reshoot. Probably like they're like, well, we need to make Magic do something.
I do like where that line where she's like, what did she say? Oh, I'm Magic. It's like, ugh, get gross, get away.
No, the script is total garbage. But
I was waiting to see how they were going to. Oh, they did kind of refer to each of them by their name except for Sunspot.
Oh, she says so careful. Or they
he
say,
bounces
oh, careful,
around like a cannonball.
Careful, that bear is magic. So am I.
Yeah. That's ugh. Double gross.
In a deleted scene, she throws a party, and she's like, "It's Magic, the Gathering."
File.
They're like, "No, take it out." and that's kind. And then the team walks away. So
they defeat the bear, right?
Yeah, they defeat the well. Danny defeats the bear. She conquers the bear, and then they all kind of walk away. And oh boy, it's funny that this is coming out during the pandemic, where I just feel like Disney's like, nobody's going to theaters. Put it out.
That's absolutely what it was. They're like, they'd already taken the loss on this thing,
right? Exactly.
And I think when they put it in theaters, it was a way to test: will people go to the theaters during a pandemic? And they're like, okay, if people won't go see this when there's literally nothing else to see, then, you know, we're done here.
This is not a good test. I mean, as much of a failed test Tenet was, this is like one-tenth of what Tenet was.
This was get it out.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why they... I feel like it must have been more expensive to put it in theaters.
Well, no, this is the Fox stuff is all contractually obligated,
right? Oh, okay.
Because when they acquired Fox, it's like they bought all these films and everyone had contracts. So you can't just, like, all these people had their contracts, and when another company buys them, you can't just be like, oh, well, you're not getting any of your back ends from theater and you're not getting any.
I guess that makes sense. They have
to fulfill all the contracts, and those all mean they have a theatrical run. And then they also have deals set up, I think, already with HBO Max for their stuff. So, like, this can't even go to Disney Plus if they wanted it to. It can't even go right to Disney Plus. I think it has to go to HBO first. I mean, I could be confusing
HBO's
some of those
like,
details,
you can have
but,
it.
But you get the gist, though. It's like they signed a deal already with streaming before Disney Plus and all that was a thing, because this has been in the works so long. So
sure.
That's why it's all messed up and they had to do it, because everyone during the middle of the pandemic is like, just drop New Mutants. What are you doing? But they literally had to send it to theaters. There was so it was only a matter of when is the right time, you know, to mitigate our losses.
Well,
yeah, you would think that you would go back and just be like, look, the world has changed since we wrote these contracts. I think we could all make more money if we renegotiate this deal, you know?
Yeah. I guess there's maybe just so many people.
So many moving parts.
Yeah.
And it's for a franchise they just do not care about. Right.
Yeah. No. Especially a franchise that, I mean, Grant, we just saw the news break this week where Deadpool 3 is happening.
Yeah.
Like with Disney. So they don't give a crap about this X-Men franchise. No. Like, they're going to do their own thing.
Yeah. That's exciting. I mean, Kevin Feige from the beginning, and you don't want to make Kevin Feige unhappy. I mean, he said, we're not messing with it. We're not, you know, making it PG-13 or whatever. You know, we're not kiddying it down. Like, Deadpool's going to come in. It's full rated R, what you're looking for.
They just won't put the Disney name on it. Like, that's. Yeah. I mean, that's what they have these other imprints for. And
it's going to be a weird one when the MCU, like, pre-roll runs in front of a Deadpool movie, like the real one. I'm sure that will be a joke. I have no doubt that that will be a joke. And it's the writers of Bob's Burgers, which, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good stuff. This one, not good. No. New Mutants, not good.
Hey, hat tip to Kevin Feige for being like, hey, here's something you didn't screw up, and I'm not going to mess with it.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you made this one work.
Hey, man.
We'll just take that one.
There's a reason it took 30 years to get Eddie Murphy back on SNL, and it was Lorne Michaels' pride, right? Like, Lorne Michaels, when he walked away from SNL, was like, this show's going to go in the crapper, and it did, and they found Eddie Murphy and it resurrected and came back guns a-blazing, and he did not like to acknowledge that era. Like, when you look at the clip shows, it's it's almost always stuff from the Lorne Michaels era. You never see clips from the non Lorne Michaels years, and because he controls that, and he doesn't like to acknowledge it. And so, and there's a guy that's super successful. You can acknowledge that they found a way to make it work when you weren't there. Like, you've established your importance to the SNL brand. So the fact that Kevin Feige didn't feel the need to do something to screw up Deadpool or put his own personal imprint on it, like, man, good for him.
He's a good dude. I mean, he seems like he has a genuine love for comics and Marvel, and he clearly is very good at making these decisions, and he doesn't seem prideful like that. He makes the decisions based on what's best for the franchise, and ultimately that's what's going to be best for
him. And he's doing Star Wars, right? Like, is he moving to Star Wars? Or doing them both?
He was going to do, like, he may have been in charge of, like one
consulting
of
some kind.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, after watching the last four episodes of The Mandalorian, get Bryce Dallas Howard, Taika Waititi, and Jon Favreau to do your next three movies, because holy guacamole, it's good. Not like New Mutants.
You know, there's so many A-list directors and creators in general that grew up loving that franchise. It should not be hard to find good people that know how to move that story forward but still keep the feel of the original. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't be hard at all.
I don't think it was. They just couldn't keep their hands off of it.
Yeah, it shouldn't be, but you're right. It's
metal. But I mean, but also, if you think about it, what more honors the legacy of George Lucas than getting close but screwing it up?
That's a valid point,
right? Like that's what Star Wars has always done.
Yeah, Abrams was like, "I got it, guys."
Yeah. That's what they've all. It's all. Yeah,
this is what George would want us to do.
With the exception of the first two, people have always been disappointed by Star Wars. Always, always.
Yeah.
People will retcon about Return of the Jedi, but I remember. I mean, I was there on opening day when it came out, and a lot of people were like, "Well, I like parts of it. I don't know about the teddy bears." And so, I mean, yeah, like,
gotta sell them toys.
Yeah, precisely. So, well, anyway, I guess that's it for New Mutants and X-Men in general, right? Like, that's it, or at least the Fox incarnation of them.
The Fox Men, yeah.
X-Men are done, yeah.
It put a fork in them. They are done. So
this one got burnt.
Yeah. So I guess let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. You can follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Find the show online, Facebook.com/RealSpoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. And, of course, don't forget our Patreon, Patreon.com/RealSpoilers. $5 a month. You get all sorts of bonus content, and you help us out, and that's appreciated. So, anyway, that's it for this one. No idea what we're doing next week, but we'll figure it out because it's what we do. So thanks for tuning in, and until next time, Brian has a flare gun in his locker. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, cause we already warned you. Better watch out, it's gonna ruin the plot.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that.
Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.